It was a tough life, you know, but the community life was fantastic. The mosque was like a central communication point.
It was just a wonderful, beautiful way for a child to grow up.
Abdullah came to Claymont and was the imam of the mosque. And until the end of it, they reigned, as I would put it, the end of them. And we come from that branch.
I suspect that the first masjid, I don't have an exact date, but it was registered in 1882, but it was already constructed, I suspect, in the 1870s and perhaps earlier.
But kusistas, that was a speciality here in Simonstown.
I think that's my story.
In the second part of the Muslim Enclave series, we speak to Razia Hussain and 85-year-old Zainab Davidson, Ni Amlay, or as she is more affectionately known as Auntie Patty.
So, try and go back to a simpler life. Not wanting to impress.
Simonstown resident for the better part of her life, Razia Hussain, takes us back to the 60s and how Muslims without business rights got evicted from their homes.
We have about, it's mostly my husband's family side, so they are all, most of them are old and frail already, and the reason why we are just almost less than a handful of Muslims is that when the Group Areas Act came in, they evicted majority of our people, but in the sense that the handful that stayed behind, they had business rights. And alhamdulillah, as the years went by, we had a lot of passing ons, and eventually now we are even less than a handful, and they are all cousins. Majority of our families that is residents in Simonstown are cousins or family members. Whereas if we should get new people coming into our town as Muslim, that would be maybe somebody that can really afford to come into Simonstown, purchase property or purchase a house or something and stay. But whereas since the Group Areas Act, it was very difficult for most of our Muslim people to come back into our residential area because the price of property and the cost of living in Simonstown is like very, very high compared to what it was back in the day.
Razia explains the beauty of sharing greetings among fellow Muslims.
For me, like, I'm going to break down. Like, everybody knows when I have to meet someone like in Simonstown and just say assalamu alaikum to another Muslim, that Muslim won't understand what it means for me or you, because you see your Muslim brothers and sisters almost practically every day, and then you don't have time to even greet them. Whereas I long for someone who I can open my window and greet and say Assalamu alaikum to the world. Like, yes, alhamdulillah, I see the beauty of Allah. I do see the scenery. I saw the beach. I see everything. But I don't see family and friends that used to stay just right next door to us.
Sitting in the plush garden at the Simonstown Heritage Museum, a demure Auntie Patty explains just how wonderful it was growing up in Simonstown.
Idyllic. It was beautiful. We had the mountain and we had the beach. We could run around and play outside and make our own games and go up to the mountain and go and pick up donnerbolpitjies. Donnerbolpitjies is a pine cone, and then in there you had the pips. Now that we used to go up into the mountain and pick it. And we used to go for berries and for sour figs and pear of fire. Yeah, prickly pears. And we used to not go far out into sea, say what we call the gapsa, the abalone and the krikkels and what. We used to go take here by the dockyard. When we came back, you could still see some crayfish here at the dockyard. Then we used to take out the crayfish there. And when it was a sardine run, and the sardines used to come right up, and then you could walk on them. They were so dense. It was just a wonderful, beautiful way for a child to grow up. You didn't have crime and vicious things happening like it is now. Children were safe. And also, and you'll find all the old people, whenever they speak, then they say, Elke kind was amalse kind. And you did something wrong, your mother or your father's not going to give you a smack or a hiding. That auntie, that sees that when she gives you a good wallop, and you don't dare go and tell your parents, because then they'll know you did something wrong, then you'll get another hiding. And you'll find all like that, but the children were much more obedient and respectful and obliging.
Razia describes how far youth had to travel to receive Islamic education.
Yeah, that was after everybody was evicted. So automatically the kids itself, most of the youth suffered a lot when it came to madrasa. And we had to get alternative ways of getting Islamic education. It's either going down we call it up the line, meaning from Simonstown going further down to Grassy Park, Lotus River, around that section. That was the nearest madrasas we could attend, or either go over to Ocean View. But remember, back in the days, there wasn't really much transport as well. So we had to seek knowledge at home as well.
Through a small smile, Auntie Patty recounts how food has adapted over years.
You have the Malay and you have the Indian. Malay people and colored people couldn't make samosas and rotis and things like that. When I married 60 years ago, there wasn't anybody to make samosas. And then my friend from Cape Town, she was a bully. And then she said, "Ach man, I'll make some for you." But nobody in Simonstown could make that. But kusistas, that was a speciality here in Simonstown. Well, in all the Malay areas. So even people didn't know about biryani. They used to make biryani, but the biryani was like an acne. Now, we were half-half. So my aunt were of the only people in the Malay community that could make biryani. And they made biryani, like, you know, layered and with a yogurt or buttermilk or whatever. But Malay people couldn't do that. But Malay people could make the best stews and pickle fish and fries. And, you know, that was Malay food. And people are still make it now, but food has evolved to a new level. So, like, everybody now can make pizzas, everybody can make biryani. You have the white cafes and shops and things making biryanis and curries, and but it is not the original of 60 years, 70 years.
Auntie Patty describes how money has facilitated in the downfall of the youth.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, money is a big devil. Money just came in, and money's everybody's god now. Must have the best cars and the best dress and the best shoes and the best wedding. And no, man, we had weddings with, we used to go out and invite your stroymesi Rocky or your whatever, and you and your stroymesis go out and go and invite everybody, like here in Simonstown. We used to invite everybody. So whoever wanted to come came to the wedding. And we didn't have big pots of biryani and special this and special that. No, we ate. It was mostly from home that you had your weddings. And supper was a cardboard little plate with a piece of chicken, some salad, a roll, and a potato and peas. And you had pudding sometimes. If it was a classy wedding, it would be ice cream. But else it would be atapopurin and, you know, that type of thing. But now everybody wants to show the next person how rich they are and how much money they have and how educated their children are. And everybody taking a break. Oh, you know, my son's son, the doctor, my sister's husband's brother is a lawyer. For heaven's sake, we were more interested in that it's a good ibadat child. He knew his deen, he knew he was Muslim and he was a practicing Muslim. That was important.
For VOC News, I'm Anika Duplessis.